About a year or two after I got here, I started teaching a course in microwave tube theory, almost everybody who is now the managerial president of Litton Industries took this course. One of the vice presidents of Litton, no, he didn't, I'm sorry, so I need to be careful. But Watkins took the course, and Hefner took the course. Somebody who's now a professor down at Santa Barbara, University of California, Santa Barbara, took the course. Stanford was, in terms of university, was the place for microwave tube research. It was against myself and Hansen and Westfield who worked on we both had large programs. Westfield had a large program. We did. But then we shifted, microwave tubes were still important, but after a while, the problems became such they were so technological that you really couldn't do them very well, even though we had very good technological facilities. We built our own tubes here for the accelerator. So around 1963 through 67, we sort of drifted out of microwave tubes. But meanwhile, as our chairman supported us in all the things we want to do, and then very important, at some stage, the physics department got involved in an internal set of problems. It was a controversy, but I'd rather not have that quoted. There's problems of how they were going to, what their relations would be with Slack. Because here Slack was going to be built, it was going to be $125 million to build the machine, and have an operating budget of, $25 million. Be a very big institution.
Yeah.
Very much like Brookhaven, like Lawrence Laboratory. And the question is, what was going to be the relation between the physics department and Slack? And this got to be a considerable amount of disagreement among people who were then in the physics department, and how Panofsky and so on, as to how it's related to Slack. And a lot of people in the physics department were concerned that they would be overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. That this was... people from their faculty ran Slack and also were in the faculty. They didn't object to their being the faculty, but they wanted to have some kind of an arm's length relationship between them. And so this was around 1960. There was a question what the relation would be, whether students could do their thesis research under staff members of Slack who were not members of the faculty, and such questions. This kind of was resolved, but never. But this was people like myself and Ginst. We're not really involved in this controversy. I mean, we were not high energy physicists. We might have been involved in building the first accelerator, but we're not involved in building accelerators anymore. We were going off another microwave.
You were building that out of your microwave, yeah, which sounds right, like, and right. Others came in and did the research.
That's
you.
Right.
That's
but the Slack was going to be built by another group, and mm-hmm. we were not going to be involved in building Slack. Maybe some of us would be. I mean, for example, I'm a consultant for Slack now for a microwave problem. Ginston was, and we were involved in some of their activities, but. Big controversy, the big problem was when Slack got rolling as a machine and did high-energy physics, which was one of the important fields in modern physics. They were going to have a permanent staff of physicists who were brought in to use the machine to do this. What was going to be the relation between these people, the physics department, about students, about could they teach? And this would never really get... And so the physics department and Slack people were long involved in a long discussion. It was a controversy, but it was a negotiation as to what the relations would be. Now, Gibson and I at that point, and one person in the electrical engineering group, were concerned about Stanford extending some of its activities in other fields, which electrical engineering was not covering adequately. There was fields which were sort of falling between, for example, plasma research. And maybe lasers. I don't know if the laser was invented then, but plasma research and solid-state research. Now, physics department, solid-state research in this country has now, and the university has been done, split somewhat between electrical engineering departments and physics departments. Certain kinds of that tends to be done in physics department, certain kinds tends to be done in electrical engineering. More far out tends to be in physics departments. And we felt that this activity should be increased at Stanford, and possibly more of it should be done in the physics department. Electrical engineering was already expanding in that field, but they were going to go into things which are more interest to electrical engineers, transistors and so on, less fundamental perhaps.